Welcome to this session on biblical counseling and the second coming. My name is Rob Green. I have the privilege of serving as the pastor of counseling and seminary ministries here at Faith Church, and so glad that you are participating today. I'd like to start by just reminding ourselves that people seek biblical counseling to deal with the crisis of their moment. So their goals often center around a change of circumstances, less conflict, and they desire more peace, less anxiety, and they desire more comfort, less anger, and they desire more calm. No one, well, maybe that's a 100% term, almost no one, comes to counseling saying that they need help to get more ready for Jesus' return. Biblical counseling, however, is always more than a discussion about the presentation problem. In fact, I'd like to suggest to you that we normally discuss theological truths while helping counselees with whatever brought them into the room. Our goals are bigger than our counselees' goals. We want them to experience that peace and comfort and calm, but not at the expense of growing in love and service for Christ or for genuine progressive sanctification. So we normally speak to our counselees about biblical themes that will help them in the long run. We might choose to talk about their identity in Christ. We might choose to talk about our love for Christ. We might choose to talk about how a counselee walks according to the Spirit or the value of serving others. We talk about all kinds of things, even if our counselees did not initially ask us to. Well, this session explores the theme of the second coming and how and when we might find it helpful in counseling. And biblical counselors have to decide how many of these themes to discuss with each counselee. And the lines between counseling and mentoring and long-term discipleship can sometimes get blurry, especially when your counselee is not well connected to their local church. And I believe and understand the tension. Trust me, I get the tension. I am not saying in this session that everyone must explain the second coming or you are not doing biblical counseling. I certainly don't appreciate hearing 10 lectures, all of which tell me that I have to blank in order to do biblical counseling. I mean, if I took their advice, then I would be counseling until Jesus returns with all of my counselees. I hope, however, that what I provide is some additional equipping on the biblical theme that could help you minister to certain people. And with that in mind, I made a list of a few different kinds of counselees that might especially benefit from a discussion on the second coming. Here are a series of possible scenarios that might warrant a second coming conversation. Let's think about the person who suffers intensely. All of us suffer. Sometimes we suffer as a Christian, but many times it's simply living in a sin-cursed world. And by God's grace, many of us have experienced a period of suffering followed by a period of calm and a period of less intense hardship. But there are others that have experienced some intense suffering. It seems as if their suffering would, in fact, never end. And sometimes the suffering that they're experiencing today is the very means by which God is going to take them home. And those counselees are sometimes fighting for hope. I've seen believers who were spiritually solid people struggle under the weight of intense suffering. See, they're not interested, especially initially, in rejecting Jesus, but the suffering becomes overwhelming. And over time, it removes the hope and it leads to rejecting our relationship with Christ. Well, the second coming is perfect because a major theme of second coming terminology is hope. Our suffering, like Romans 8:18 reminds us, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that is still to come. A second kind of counseling scenario that might especially benefit from a discussion on the second coming is the person who's contemplating suicide. Suicidal people are, of course, hopeless. That's one of the reasons why they're considering taking their own life. But there's another side to that story. Is it important, for example, how we meet Jesus? Is it important to consider the conditions upon which our arrival occur at the judgment seat of Christ? Are we finishing well or are we finishing poorly? It may be that one of the motivating factors to help a person deal with their suicidal struggles is to remind themselves in what condition are they going to meet the Lord. Is it living as a steward? Is it living in a way that they are accomplishing what God has for them? Are they on the up and up? Or have they given up on life and no longer living a very God-honoring life? Well, a third possible scenario that you might want to consider is the person who's living for the next big thrill. These are the pleasure seeker counselees. These are the bucket list people. And while there might not be anything wrong with having some goals that we would like to accomplish before we meet Jesus, the bucket list can be another phrase for thrill-seeking idolatry. I mean, life on earth is a relatively small portion of our life. Francis Chan once gave a wonderful illustration where he had this long rope, and he had one little end of it tied up with a piece of tape. And he said, "This is the total of your life on earth in comparison to this, which is eternity." It was a powerful illustration of just how short of a time our life on earth is in comparison to all that God has planned for our future. It may be that this person who is focused on pleasure seeking, thrill seeking, needs to remind themselves that seeing the next big thing, accomplishing the next thing on their bucket list might not actually be all that important. Number four, this will typically not bring a counselee into the room, but it might come out of their mouth as they work on counseling itself. The person who says, well, they want to live a productive life for Jesus. That may not have brought them in. That may not be the first thing out of their mouth. But at some point in the counseling process, they might actually say, this is what I want. I want to live a life that is productive for Christ. So what might it look like for them to do that? I don't believe that I have exhausted all the possible scenarios where a second coming conversation might be helpful. But it at least highlights a few ways in which we might think about incorporating a second coming theme into our counseling. Now, before I go any further, I want to explain how I use the phrase second coming. I have, as does Faith Church, a particular position regarding end time events. We are pre-tribulational and premillennial in the sense that we believe that that best accounts for the biblical data. Now, you might not agree with that. You might believe that the Bible teaches historic premillennialism or amillennialism, or maybe you're postmillennial. Or maybe you don't know what you are and you haven't really cared that much. In any of those cases, this session could still apply to you because it's not dependent on any specific view of the end times. As long as you're committed to the following things, that Jesus is actually going to return, that he is going to establish an eternal kingdom, and that all believers, genuine followers of Christ, will enjoy eternity with their Savior. If you can at least acknowledge those points, then what we're talking about today can find its way into your counseling room. And I want to consider four reasons why counselees might benefit from this kind of discussion, as well as potentially the way in which this conversation could occur. The first is, it is hope building to cultivate tastes of wholeness we will enjoy in the future. And I'd like to spend a minute reading a portion of Revelation 21 to remind ourselves what is this picture that God has given us of the eternal state. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. This is Revelation 21, verse